You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Nick Sirianni looked like an absolute clown doing all of that. I mean, the fact that you're going to sit up there and argue with people who spend their hard-earned money to come watch you play. If you don't put out a good performance, guess what? They have every right to boo you. And you need to take that because that's part of your job as a head coach. You can't have it one way or the other. Like, it's an all-encompassing job. And for you to sit there and then have your kids in the post game to kind of deflect from, you know, reporters trying to come after you, it's lame, it's weak, he's a clown. It just looks ridiculous.
Damian Woody there. I'm glad I'm not the only person. I didn't know that was what Woody was going to say there at the end, too. I don't know for sure I guess he brings his kids out for every home win, but to me it felt like, oh, okay, he's going to deflect here. Like, he's going to make sure that no hard questions are going to come his way, because Sirianni, outside of like Doug Peterson and Mike McCarthy, is like the main. Oh, well, Kevin Stefanski's up there too. That actually don't even totally know. Nick Sirianni's felt like a guy that's going to get fired for, I would even say, like months now at this point.
Right.
Since now the Jalen Hurts piece came out.
Yeah. Now that Robert Saleh's gone, he's like, is he the favorite for the next coach fired?
Nah, Peterson. I think Doug Peterson probably first. Yeah. If we even get more in-season firings. They're not that.
Yeah, I think it depends like how long the Jaguars let this thing go. Because, I mean, 1-6, come on.
It should be ending soon, but we'll see. Although, we're not really here to talk Jaguars and Eagles. No, we have one more game to wrap up week 6 of the NFL season. The Buffalo Bills are on the road to take on the New York Jets. And with that, we are joined by our own Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline, who is down in New Jersey. Sal, how are we doing this morning?
Pretty good, pretty good. And all that with Sirianni's after a win.
Yeah, right?
I mean, right? Think about that. That's crazy when you think about it, right? That's after a win, and they're dealing with all that in Philadelphia. Not too far from here, obviously, in Jersey. And it's a nice day here today, guys. I know the weather isn't the greatest in Buffalo right now, but 60 and sunny. It's going to be probably in the low 50s at kickoff, so a little chillier, and probably get into the 40s during the game. But no rain really in the forecast, so we're in for a nice day today and an interesting night tonight, of course.
We're going to have Patrick Hammer on right after you, Sal, and he's going to come on and just be like, no, it's great. It's perfect. Here's not great, but there, it'll be wonderful football.
Ask him about what the outlet looks for the series, too, because the Yankees start tonight in the Bronx here.
That is right.
So,
that is right.
You know, you get the Yankees and the Guardians, right? And you got just a little pet peeve of mine, by the way. I just think the baseball season's too long like this, which is you play these games, these cold weather city games in the playoffs. And to me, that's not like I want to see baseball in warm weather. You think of the playoffs, right? You get to the CS series and the championship series. You get to the World Series, and you could get 40-degree weather. It's just, come on, what are we doing, right? Let's end the season a little bit early. Play some more doubleheaders during the season to shorten that season. Anyway, pet peeve of mine, and they'll be fine tonight, playing in the Bronx. But I don't like watching World Series games where it's like 39 degrees.
Yeah, and that's my thing, too. It's even a tough part in the beginning of the season when you're like, it's still snowing in New York and like they have to, postpone games or what have you. It's we don't need 162 games. It's so long. It's so long. But Sal, you're there. You're in New Jersey. The Bills, though, did seemingly get some good news over the weekend in terms of the injury report. Just one player is ruled out up to this point. It is Ed Oliver. They've got four questionables, but guys are starting to practice, getting out of those non-contact jerseys, what have you. They may still be somewhat compromised, but at least it's a somewhat good feeling, because up to this point, man, that injury report, it seems to get longer and longer every day.
Yeah, guys, let's get to a Barnes injury report brought to you by the Barnes firm. Car crash? For help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. Four players questionable for the Bills heading into this one. But as you said, a little bit of encouragement on them. Now, we know Ed Oliver is out. He's already been ruled out for the game. He's not going to play. But after not practicing throughout the week, wide receiver Khalil Shakir and running back James Cook both practiced on a limited basis on Saturday. Both are listed as questionable. What's interesting is if you had asked me a few days ago about either of these guys, I'd say, you know what? I give Shakir a fighting chance. It seems like he's did a little bit more as the week went on. We'll see. I give him a fighting chance to play here. I wouldn't give as much of a chance to James Cook. I guess I give him a fighting chance, but not as much. And then Adam Schefter reported that James Cook agency said that Cook is going to play.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see tonight if he's out there. And then you have Austin Johnson at defensive tackle is questionable. And Taron Johnson, who to me is much more on the other side of like optimism. They don't have a probable anymore, guys. Like the NFL did away with probable. I wish they'd bring it back because you have questionable, you have doubtful, and you have probable. Used to. Now you still have doubtful if a guy's doubtful to play. But they got rid of probable because anybody who's probable generally played anyway. I'm wondering if we still had probable if Taron Johnson would fall in that category.
Yeah, Sal, he's the one guy that I look on here, and I look at everyone listed on this injury report, and he's the one that I'm most optimistic about just because of the fact that he's been out for so long and he's had all this time to recover. And that questionable to me just feels more hopeful than the other three.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, especially with Khalil Shakir, I mean, that ankle is I don't know. I don't want that to, you know, get worse as the season goes on and have him out for even longer. Like, in my eyes, don't force him back and just kind of wait it out as long as you need because, yes, he's the main part of the offense, but at the same time, you don't want to lose that main part of the offense for the whole year.
Sure, but, you know, we're all on the outside here, right? Like, I don't know if they'd be, what we'd say, forcing him back or not or when he's ready, right? They would feel the same. I'm sure the Bills, they're not going to put him on the field unless he's ready. They know that, you know, it's a long season. So if he's ready to play, they'll put him out there. And there's a lot of things you can do to kind of, you know, it doesn't mean you have to be 100% to play. But at the same time, you know, you have to weigh the, you know, risk of re-injury and how well the person's going to perform. You know, we'll get elevations later today too, guys, by the way, because it's a Monday night game. The Bills can make those and you'll be in. They'll be announced that by 4 p.m. 4 p.m. is the deadline for those today. So actually, I shouldn't say that. I think it's game time, the inactive list time. So it might be not 90 minutes before the game. We could get elevations. We'll find out if they bring anybody up as a wide receiver. And then that will give us an indication. If you get an elevation of Tyrell Shavers again or K.J. Hamler, then it becomes much more questionable about Khalil Shakir. If you get an elevation of Frank Gore Jr., I think that says a lot about James Cook. So we'll find out 90 minutes before the game. But sure, I mean, you always have to weigh all of those things, Josh, about how, you know, the player is important to you, but at the same time, you don't want to put him out there, A, to re-injure, but also, if you can have somebody who's going to be much more effective, you have to think about that as well.
Well, and yeah, I was thinking about that too, because I look at, you know, Mac Hollins and Khalil or Curtis Samuel on there too. With obviously they practiced in full on Saturday, but they were limited for the other parts of the week. And you know, we haven't seen Curtis Samuel do too much so far. And with Mac Hollins, that's kind of a new one. So I wonder, you know, what do you think it's going to be like if those two are, you know, kind of laboring.
Well, let me
just
say, Mac Hollins got hurt last week's game when he got tackled on the sidelines. He came up there working on his shoulder. So they just put a red contact jersey on him this week and kept him limited in practice so that he didn't re-injure that. That's my read of it because he's good to go. He's going to play.
Okay.
But really, that's from Sunday's game. I know it was kind of a surprise. He never was officially injured in Sunday's game as far as like an official injury report, but I know they're working on his shoulder. So when you see that during the week, you're like, oh my God, what happened in practice? Nothing happened in practice. He had a red contact to kind of make sure that, you know, I'm sure that, you know, nobody hit his shoulder or whatever, but he's good to go. And then Curtis Samuel starts off the week, doesn't practice, and then he's back out there, and not even in a red jersey. He was out there the rest of the week. So, you know, we've talked, how many times have we said all year, each week, we're talking about, well, he's not on the injury report, so why aren't you throwing the ball? Why isn't he doing this? Why is he doing that? Here's another game where, okay, he's healthy. He should be a big part of your offense, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, by the end of the week, he's a full participant. Although it being a toe injury kind of makes you think, all right, the turf toe has somewhat been an issue, but not enough to be put on injury report. Sal, on the Jet side of things, just Michael Carter so far has been ruled out the cornerback. Yeah. I will tell you, though, and he's on the injury report for an ankle, but Aaron Rodgers, the last 2 weeks, I mean, he's had points where he's crawling off the field, the whole thing. He seems compromised at this point with this Jets team. Their offense isn't doing too much. Yes, the Bills are down Von Miller and Ed Oliver, but it does feel like this Jets offensive line can be had and has been having a really rough go of it recently.
Yeah, you know what's funny about that is I agree with you. He's been getting banged up a lot, and he's, you know, you said crawling around, and the ankle. And then the Jets this week, they put him on the injury report. And then all of a sudden, like Thursday, they're like, yep, he's great. He looks fantastic. And they took him off the injury report and he has no game status or designation. So they're sending out signals that he's fully able to do everything he's able to do. But hey, look, I mean, he's 40 years old coming off an Achilles, been getting beat up. So all it takes is a couple of times where he has to scramble out of the pocket, gets hit a couple of times, and we'll see how that lasts, right? We all know last year here, Monday night, was the opener, and the Bills actually, you know, were the team that they were playing against when he got hurt and was lost for the year. In this situation here, you know, he's played. I thought that early in the year he looked more mobile than I thought he would, but the last few weeks, he has not looked as mobile, and that's because he is getting beaten up. If you talk to people here around New York and cover the team, they'll say, like, it's just the offensive line hasn't been that great. And by the way, guys, that's why they haven't been able to run the ball. They just cannot run the ball. I think tonight they're going to try to make a much more renewed, committed effort, especially with Todd Downing now calling the plays and Norman Nathaniel Hackett. I think this game is the Jets are going to come out, and they're going to try to run the ball 50 times if they can against the Buffalo Bills.
Well, so yeah, so continuing on with that, I mean, it happened so early last week that it's somewhat has been forgotten. But yeah, Robert Saleh is out as head coach. Todd Downing is now the play caller. It's not Nathaniel Hackett. Jeff Olbrich is the interim head coach. There's a lot of changes going on with the Jets. You kind of mentioned it there. You think there's going to be sort of a renewed effort in trying to run the ball. But this Jets team, I mean, they've had a real struggle at scoring. To me, at least, just again, on the outside looking in, not having really talked with any Jets reporters, this feels like it's going to be a low-scoring, if you're a neutral fan, probably boring game to watch, and you just kind of try to find a way to win. At least that's how it feels to me.
Yeah, I think, what did Jeremy say? What's the over-under? 42, 42.5 or something like that
that's
tonight?
Low.
I heard him say it this morning. What 41.5, it's down to what I have here. That's Josh Allen and Aaron Rodgers, 41.5, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, the line has also swung a little bit more towards the Jets. The Bills were favored by like 2 to 2.5. It's down to 1 point.
Yeah.
Some money coming in on the Jets, obviously. So this should be a really tight game, a low-scoring game. I agree. This is a Jets defense that is number one in yards per play against and number one in yards per play on the ground against. And even in through the air. Even on the ground, they're top 10. They're ninth, I think, in yards per play. So you have to figure out some ways to, you know, move the ball. And I think points are at a premium tonight. You know, the first few games, Sean McDermott's been pretty aggressive. You know, he's gone for it on fourth downs early in the game. I know there's been one or two where fans can, you know, say, oh, he should have gone for it. I get it. Mm-hmm. But he's been pretty aggressive, actually, early in games. I wonder if this is a game where it's much more conservative, field position battle. You take field goals when you can get them.
And Sal, last thing for me here, and I don't want to be too negative, but I mean, this is a team that has lost two in a row and honestly have really not looked good in either game. I mean, last week they put themselves in a position to win. The defense was playing very well, but ultimately I don't think any of us left that game feeling great. You know, what's your panic level now if they do drop three in a row and go from ultimately their last win being such a dominant win over Jacksonville to what we've kind of seen over the last month or, you know, almost month? It's very stark compared to the start of the season.
It is. I don't know if panic is the word I would use. I don't think you have to panic when you consider this is a team that was three games behind a division leader last year with five to play and still won it. It's a team that a few years ago was two games behind a division leader with four to play, the Patriots, and still won it. I think that was the case. There are still, guys, after tonight, there are still 11 games left in this season. I mean, we are really kind of a quarter or a third of the way through, right? And I'm also not saying here, oh, everything's fine. If they lose tonight, everything's fine. That's not the case. If they lose tonight, they're 3-3. They lose a hold of the division. And obviously, it's concerning. There's no doubt about that. I think there are some much different games coming up, though. Much more, you know, there's an opportunity here to go on a run. 3-4 wins, and you could be looking at something different. I think much more tonight is about, I want to see them kind of fix some of the things that have gotten them to this point the last 2 weeks. You know, what's happening with the wide receivers and separation and Josh Allen? You know, I need to, especially from the offensive side, but even a couple of things on defense, but especially from the offensive side, I need to see them look better tonight. And, you know, if you come out of this game and the offense looks a lot better, but they lose, sure, it's going to be frustrating. We're going to talk about it, and oh my God, here we go. There'll be some sky is falling mentality, no doubt about it. But I think that feels different than if you go into this game and they look the same the way they did last week, and especially in the first half, you know, against the Texans and against the Ravens. They can't, you know, move the ball at all. And then, you know, we're having serious conversations about where this team is and what they need to do over the next few weeks before the trade deadline and everything else. It's funny, Paul Esden Jr., Boy Green, was on with Jeremy this morning. I was on Paul's podcast earlier this week, and he said, it's so funny, the perspective of the Jets and the Bills. Like, to the Jets, like this game, yeah, it's big for both of them guys. But if the Jets lose this game, they're two games, really 2.5 games back of the division. It feels like their season might be over. Mm-hmm. Like they have such a hole to climb out of to catch the Bills that you better win this game. If the Bills lose this game, it's like, yeah, it kind of sucks, but you know what? You're still 3-3, and they've done this before, and they came back in December after, you know, being down three games to play with the division. So I don't feel it's the necessarily sense of urgency like that for the Bills, but I do feel that this is a game where you can put some distance between you and the division and feel a lot better about yourself.
All right, Sal, we got a number of hours here before kickoff. So what's the plan for today? Got anything fun kind of set up? I mean, you mentioned the Yankees, but that's going to be going on literally right at the same time as the Bills.
You think I could make first pitch at 7:30 and then kick off at 8:15 here? No, I don't
mean,
think
so. I'm not going to push it, but I won't find...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Hi, Janet.
So there is a mall located literally like right across from our hotel. I'm going to head over there.
There we go.
A little bit later. Eric Wood and I were talking about that. And we were working out this morning. Yeah, no, I saw Eric downstairs. We were working out. And I'm like, you know, there's a mall across the street. We should kind of take a walk. There's a really nice pier. We're in Jersey City. And there's a great, great like pier right near where we are. And it's just an awesome walk. And it's a great, great view of Midtown Manhattan from there. So, yeah, there's a lot of cool things to just kind of walk around and do to kill some time today. And obviously, I'll be on later with Shope and the Bulldog, and they'll have the pregame show and the round. You know, head over to the stadium a little bit later today.
Sounds good, Sal. I'll talk to you then. Have a great rest of your day.
All right, you too. Thanks.
That was Sal Capaccio there on the Wester Hotline. As we do get ready for our official pregame here on WGR beginning at 3 o'clock for that 8:15 kickoff. We did have a fight at Sabres practice today.
I was about to say, Zach, we have some interesting news from Sabres practice.
We had a fight at Sabres practice. Real quick note on them. They did win over the weekend, getting their first win of the season, a 5-2 one over Florida. But Dahlin and Krebs got into a little bit of a scrap of practice after it appeared that both of them collided at like full speed during a drill. Teammates had to break it up. Paul, I think, outright said, this is like the first fight I've seen in practice in years.
Yeah, there's a video on Lance Lysowski's Twitter of the two of them kind of in a scrum and teammates breaking them up. Dahlin dropped the gloves. The gloves are not on his hands. What?
You could take that a lot of different ways. In terms of like the fight, I think rightfully there are going to be people that are like, I love the grit, the whole thing.
Yeah.
I think I'd even be part of that group, especially knowing what their practice habits turned into and hearing former players complain about it. Mm-hmm. I like that. There's going to be others, and I think this is also somewhat right too in that we're four games into the season.
Yeah, what are we doing here?
And we're fighting at practice.
And the way Paul, this is how Paul worded it in his tweet. Just saw my first fight in practice in years. Krebs hit Dahlin, and Dahlin dropped the gloves and dumped him.
All right.
So, I don't know.
It's a big thing for me, though.
It's kind of crazy.
With Peyton Krebs, though, it's a big thing for me of like someone's got to teach him to fight.
Yes,
like,
please.
If he's going to be like that, like scrappy, like player that you don't want to see in a dark alley kind of deal, I need you though. Like when gloves get dropped, that I'm not just going, hey, I'm just glad you got there. I don't need that. I need need the excitement level to be up. Where now every time he gets into a fight, I'm like, ugh.
I just saw the video. There's video of the fight and the hit.
Okay.
Yeah. And basically what it looks like happens is they're coming it's almost like a kind of like a rush kind of drill.
Mm-hmm.
Someone passes it through the center. I think Darlene receives it. I can't tell who's in what jersey because they don't have
the numbers on, yeah.
But whoever's in the red jersey gets absolutely leveled as the puck is arriving. I think it's Darlene that gets hit. And then whoever it was gets up.
And he's pretty upset, yeah.
And they're pretty upset, and they just start going at it with each other. Yeah, and there are gloves dropped. Wow.
I'm
breaking this down in slow-mo.
I don't need
there was
that.
There was a good four punches exchanged before the teammates get there.
I don't need the preemptive stuff that happened before the actual fight. Like, the fight's fine, but like having already dealt with like Darlene getting hurt seconds into the first practice of the year, I don't really need that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm less so on that. But I kind of like the grit the team is showing. They've played
emotion.
Well, two games.
Emotion.
Yeah, they've played well two games in a row, getting one win. They should have gotten a win against the Kings, but here we are. Real quick, though, Sal brought it up in terms of elevations we could see today. I will tell you, Josh, I won't hate seeing somebody like Frank Gore Jr. get called up.
The speed, just
potential
there. Like,
I want to see more from him. I really mm-hmm. liked when they were able to get him as an undrafted free agent. I think running backs also, I hate saying it like this, but there are a dime a dozen, and I like the guy. And I would love to see him get and he may not do much. I think you're all of a sudden getting to a Ray Davis kind of situation where he's like you're running back one. But I would just like to see him, you know, be able to do something. I really, really liked him, and I wanted him to make the team. Him being on the practice squad, I'm happy with. But I think that would be something I think I'd really enjoy for tonight. I'm prepared, though, and like we just said it with Sal, just a low-scoring game. I like that's how Sal put it, though. Like, you want to see them fix some of the stuff that's been their issues. And that's maybe where some of the concern comes in if they're not able to fix anything. I will tell you, though, and I get it's a year in transition,
mm-hmm.
so I'm not expecting them to be 14-2 or what have you and go on these amazing runs. That, I think, is maybe where I am worried, though, if they go to 3-3, if all of a sudden, like, I don't know if they have the horses to go on runs like that. The division's still bad, don't get me wrong. And
right.
and Mike McDaniel did say today he expects Tua Tagovailoa to play at some point this year. Did not give, like, a game window, though, that he expects him to be back. He just said he's going to be back in 2024. But for me, I think that's my fear is that, they dropped a 3-3. Yes, they get Tennessee, but Tennessee's defense is good. Tennessee's defense is very good. And that's my fear is I don't want a year in transition to all of a sudden be a year in which they're fighting again to get in the playoffs like they were last year. You know, they shouldn't be. This team should be better off. Yes, they've made some decisions that have put them into the situation they're in now. Mainly Stephon Diggs having the $30 million of dead cap on your books. I get it. But to me, looking at how their offense is, like I'm excited. Curtis Samuel, full participant in practice.
Mm-hmm.
I need to see them actually use him before I like actually get excited that he's back. Like I'm happy for him to be able to play.
Yeah,
I'm not necessarily excited for Curtis Samuel to play because up to this point it's been bubble screens and kind of a nothing factor.
Yeah, with him though, I wonder how much that toe has played into things, but I also just need to see more. Like if he's fully healthy, use him, please, because what he's been doing, whether injury or not, it's mm-hmm. not working. And sure, maybe it has been an injury thing, but if it's that bad, then what are we doing?
Yeah, then you really shouldn't have been playing because right. you were. He's wasting a roster spot. It's not that, but you're getting literally nothing out of him.
Right. So
and that I think is maybe less so than what he was going to be doing. What is maybe a distraction? Maybe.
Why are you paying a player $8 million to be a distraction?
Well, no, I'm saying if it's an injury.
Oh,
and that's what he's ultimately.
I'm sorry. I misunderstood where you were going.
Yeah, if that's ultimately what he has to be right now is a distraction because he's not able to full go, why are you playing him?
Right.
You know, but I think Khalil Shakir, if he can play tonight, I think it's a massive bonus.
Well, like I said though with Sal, he's like, I'm so scared of him playing tonight because what if you know, he goes out there and he looks fine and then all of a sudden re-aggravates something, then you have him out for longer term. It's
I'd be more worried if it was a soft tissue thing.
Yeah.
Like a hamstring or right. a calf.
But ankles are weird, though.
Ankles can be anyone weird, that, but
anyone
that's
sprained their ankle knows that once you sprain an ankle, it's never the same.
Yeah, I'm less worried about that.
But it wasn't an ankle sprain. It was just kind of an ankle injury. They never really called it anything, I don't think. It's more just like
just ankle.
An ankle.
Yeah.
So you don't really know what's going on there. But like you said, it's probably fine. It's probably okay that it's not something more muscle related. But again, I get nervous with that stuff.
Yeah. 803-0550 is the number to call. When we come back, we'll get a look at the weather with Patrick Hammer, chief meteorologist over at WGRZ. As I mean, Sal put it, looks like it's going to be gorgeous down in New Jersey. We'll get also a look here in Buffalo as well. Zach Jones and Josh Mitt here until 12 o'clock. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.